Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get right into today is the question of Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. Now, it's possible to have two entirely different, but also two entirely compatible reactions to the accounts of President Trump's phone call on Saturday with Raffensperger. Now, first, the president clearly tried to press Raffensperger to, quote, find enough votes to flip Georgia from Biden to Trump. Even though Trump obviously believes the phantom votes, wherever they are rightfully his, he stepped over the line of propriety, actually way over the line of propriety, by trying to push Georgia election officials to change the result. Now, I think that goes almost without saying, but we just said it. Now, at the same time, in the last 24 hours or so, Raffensperger has been asked about the circumstances of the leak of the recording of his conversation, phone conversation with the president. And Raffensperger has given shifty and evasive answers to very basic questions about this decision to make the conversation with the president public, which has led to the question of what was he trying to accomplish with this revelation, which just happened to come, by the way, in the hours before the Georgia Senate race. Raffensperger appears to have acted more from personal motivations than from a desire to expose the president's misconduct. That's what it appears. Okay. The reason I'm saying that is because of Raffensperger's answers during an interview on Fox with Martha McCallum on Monday afternoon. Now, he appears on Fox, and he said the conversation with Trump was not privileged, as some Trump defenders have said. Well, I think it was clearly not privileged. There are a bunch of people on the call, including Mark Meadows, who were not lawyers representing somebody. So it's not like a privileged legal call. So I think he's correct on that. And Raffensperger said the president had tried to call him in the past, but had gotten the wrong number, meaning that Saturday was the first time the two men had ever spoken about the Georgia election. It's kind of hard to believe White House operators are famous for being able to find people anywhere they are. If you're in Home Depot looking for new flooring, they'll find you if the president wants to talk to you. On the other hand, perhaps Trump tried to call him personally. I don't know. So that's what Raffensperger said. And Raffensperger also said that Trump's allegations of massive fraud in Georgia are all false. Now, he's been saying that for a while. So all of these comments, everything Raffensperger just said, though, were uncontroversial and entirely expected. So Martha McCallum asked, well, what about the call being recorded? Quote, I didn't know it was recorded. That's what Raffensperger said. I didn't know it was being recorded. I was just at home with my wife, and I had it on speakerphone, but I didn't record anything at my house, end quote. Raffensperger said he made notes of the conversation, but nothing else. I didn't record anything at my house. Well, there were a bunch of people on his side of the conversation who were physically in different places, so the idea that he did not record the call physically at his house doesn't really mean a lot. But the point is, he said, Raffensperger said, I didn't know it was being recorded. So you have to ask, well, gee, when did you learn it was being recorded? That's exactly what Martha McCallum asked. Quote, then on Sunday morning, he, meaning Trump, put out a Twitter, meaning a tweet. Quote, I thought we had a private conversation, just not left unsaid that it was private. But I just thought it was man to man, just having a conversation. But then he, Trump, goes out on Twitter the next morning and says stuff that's not true. First of all, he releases that we did have a conversation. The whole world knows he's got 80 million Twitter followers. But then he also says stuff that wasn't true. So, Raffensperger doesn't know that this call has been recorded. And then, on Sunday morning, Trump tweets something, and that changes everything. Now, the tweet to which Raffensperger referred was sent at 8:57 a.m. on Sunday. And I'm going to read it. This is what Trump said. Quote, "I spoke to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger yesterday," meaning Saturday, "about Fulton County and voter fraud in Georgia. He was unwilling or unable to answer questions such as the ballots under the table scam, ballot destruction, out-of-state, quote, voters, dead voters, and more. He has no clue. Exclamation point. End of tweet. Okay, so that's 8:57. The president sends out that tweet. Exactly 90 minutes later, 10:27 a.m., Raffensperger responds, also on Twitter. Quote, "Respectfully, President Trump, what you're saying is not true. The truth will come out." Brief sip of water there. That clearly suggests, the truth will come out, clearly suggests that Raffensperger knows something is up. So it appears that sometime between the president's tweet at 8:57 and his own tweet 90 minutes later at 10:27, Raffensperger finds out the call has been recorded. He never explains that, but that appears to be the case. So, 2 hours and 33 minutes after that, after Raffensperger's tweet, his vow that the truth will come out, 2 hours, 33 minutes later, exactly 1 p.m., the Washington Post tweets, quote, "exclusive," quote, "I just want to find 11,780 votes. An extraordinary hour-long call. Trump pressures Georgia Secretary of State to recalculate vote in his favor." Now, that Washington Post tweet at 1 p.m., linked to a 2,000-word story featuring extensive quotes from the recording. The recording was more than an hour long, accompanied by a 4.5-minute audio clip of some of the talk's most important exchanges. So, clearly, by Raffensperger's timeline, the Post worked very, very quickly. Raffensperger did not know it was had been recorded until sometime after 8:57, 9 o'clock, say, and by 1 p.m., the finished story, a pretty long one, with audio excerpts, is on the Washington Post website. So, in this interview with Martha McCallum, Raffensperger would not say how all of this happened. He wouldn't say whether he had been part of the decision to release the call. Well, who made that decision? He's the Secretary of State. Did somebody else make the decision? Now, here is his exchange with Martha McCallum. Okay. McCallum, "You say you didn't realize that the phone call was recorded. At what point did you become aware that the phone call was recorded? And tell us about the decision to release the phone call, the audio of the phone call, to the Washington Post." So that's the question. Raffensperger's answer. Quote, "I think it was after Sunday when the Twitter came out. I didn't see it, or anyway, I became aware of it. And anyway, so that's, recording is out there. And now people can look at what was the entirety of the comments that were said. And then they can see what he said versus what I said." And then McCallum says, "But were you consulted? And did you okay the release of the phone call? Did you say, okay, let's go ahead and release the audio of the phone call?" Now here's Raffensperger's answer. Quote, "The information is out there, and it is what it is." Now, does that sound like a forthcoming answer to you? Does that sound like a public official who wants to get something out and wants to be absolutely transparent about it? No. So, Martha McCallum, who can hear what Raffensperger is telling her, says, quote, "That's not an answer to my question. Are you going to answer my question? Were you aware of the decision, and were you in favor of the decision to release the phone call?" Okay, so Raffensperger says, I think that what we had to respond, that we had to respond to the president's Twitter. And we responded with the facts that were in the call. And that's how it got out there. So now the world can just see what was in there. They can just make their own decisions, listen to the whole thing, both sides of the aisle, right down the middle, and they can make their own decisions. So the question is, Martha McCallum's question was, who made the decision? Were you consulted? Did you say, okay, let's release the call? And the answer was, the information is out there, and it is what it is. So, obviously, Raffensperger is being kind of squirrely about this, and he's not releasing the facts about what happened. Maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't, but he doesn't want to talk about it, and he doesn't want to take responsibility. Throughout the interview, Raffensperger would not take responsibility for the recording and the release of the conversation. The information is out there, and it is what it is. Okay. Now, then there's something else. There is the question of why let's assume Raffensperger did this. He is the man in charge. The question of why he did it. McCallum asked him about his apparent anger at David Perdue, the Georgia senator who is on the ballot in one of the runoff races. Obviously, Perdue's political future depends on the results of the Georgia election. Another little sip of water. McCallum says, I just want to ask you once again to respond specifically to Senator Perdue, who said he thought it was inappropriate and disgusting to release this audio. How do you respond to him on that charge? Raffensperger says, Senator Perdue still owes my wife an apology for all the death threats she got after he, Perdue, asked for my resignation. And I have not heard one peep from that man since. If he wants to call me face-to-face, man-to-man, I will talk to him off the record, but he hasn't done that. McCallum, so do you think it feels like this is very much about a grudge? Raffensperger, it's not a grudge at all. McCallum, between you and the president and between you and Mr. Perdue. Raffensperger, it's really about getting, Martha, it's really about getting the facts out because we just did it in a press release today. And indeed, they did, the Secretary of State's office did release a press release on Monday. But here again, when Martha McCallum asks about the reasons for this, Raffensperger says Senator Perdue owes his wife an apology for all the death threats that she got after Perdue asked for Raffensperger's resignation. Well, the point of this is, I think Martha McCallum was right here. It really did feel very much like a grudge. To the degree that releasing the Trump conversation will damage Perdue's chances in the runoff, and that is unclear. Is that going to happen? We'll know more later. At the very least, it appears that Raffensperger acted while deeply angry at Perdue. So, is releasing this story and setting off this political firestorm in Washington, at least, does that hurt Perdue in the runoff? Who knows? But it could have been something that Raffensperger was trying to do. Now, Raffensperger said he released the call in order to expose the president's lies. And that has been the general explanation for why the call was released. But even that is not at all clear. Also on Monday, the same day he talked to Martha McCallum, Raffensperger did an interview with Brendan Keefe, who is a reporter for WXIA television, local TV station in Atlanta. So Keefe asks, quote, if the president hadn't tweeted and tweeted something that was false, would we have ever heard that recording? Okay, so that's interesting because Raffensperger has said he released the call so that people could see this to expose the wrongdoing, the lies on the part of the president. And then Brendan Keefe says, well, but if the president had never tweeted, would you have released the call? And Raffensperger says, quote, no. It was a private conversation as far as I was concerned, and he broke privacy when he put out a tweet, but then his tweet was false. If President Trump wouldn't have tweeted out anything and would have stayed silent, we would have stayed silent as well. And that would have been just a conversation between him and I, man to man, and that would have been just fine with us. But he is the one that had to put it out on Twitter. And so, if you're going to put out stuff that we don't believe is true, then we're going to respond in kind. So there it is. It seems to me that Raffensperger was saying that even after he heard everything the president said on the call, all of the falsehoods that the president said on the call, Raffensperger had no intention of releasing the recording. It was only after Trump attacked him on Twitter that Raffensperger decided to give the story to the Washington Post. Now, that suggests to me, maybe not to you, maybe to me, but to me, that suggests that Raffensperger's motive was not to expose the president's misconduct, but to get back at the president and possibly to David Perdue after a Twitter attack. I mean, if you want to expose wrongdoing, then you want to expose wrongdoing. And it doesn't matter whether the president tweets something or doesn't tweet something. But in this case, Raffensperger said he would have kept the whole thing secret had not Trump sent out a tweet. Okay. Now, is that the real story? I think it's impossible to know. We just don't know right now. Now, it should always be noted that Trump, on the call, was wrong to press Raffensperger on the vote totals. He stepped over the line of propriety. But Raffensperger's story, at least what we know of it so far, raises questions about his conduct too. So if there's more to learn about Trump, there's more to learn about Raffensperger too, about how this happened. Does it change the basic fact of Trump's challenge to the election results? No, it doesn't. But it does tell us something about Brad Raffensperger. And that's worth knowing right now. So we're going to keep you posted on that as we find out more about it. I want to thank you for listening and want you to join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.